Welcome to the Cricket Podcast. This is your host, Mr. Number 9.
And this is The Phone.
Okay, so fans of our podcast and regular listeners, I'm very sorry that we have not updated in a long time. We will not go into why, but there's another World Cup for a different sport, because apparently different sports have World Cups. It's kind of cute, isn't it?
It's a little cute. I mean, it is the Cricket World Cup. They've had it for a while now.
They have, and it's in our local backyard, so we figure, why not have a cricket podcast? Cricket being, I think, easily our second favourite game after the beautiful game.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Cricket World Cup will be on in 2 weeks' time, and I shall be there, God willing, and all that. It's at Hagley Oval when New Zealand takes on Sri Lanka. I would like to say that my co-host will be covering the concurrent match going on in the SCG between England and Australia, but that's not going to happen.
No.
But it should be a good time. We'll keep it simple. We'll do a review of the teams and see how we think. Let's get the easy stuff out of the way. The associates, our underdogs, the teams we love to see do well. Yeah. This time, they are represented by Ireland, Scotland, Afghanistan, and the UAE.
Yeah.
It's the first time in a long time Kenya, who are traditionally a very strong associates team, will not be here.
And no Netherlands either.
But the Netherlands have missed it every now and then. But I think for a while Kenya were quite a strong team in the associates. But they've been replaced by Ireland as the next strong associate, I think. Yeah.
Well, Ireland's been pretty strong for the last few World Cups, really. They've been pretty close. I think they've made some pretty big...
Yeah, they made the Super Sixes in 2007.
They've upset Pakistan.
Mm-hmm. Bangladesh.
And Bangladesh. India?
Did they
run India close?
They ran India close, I think. And they beat England in that game. Fantastic game, which they chased, I believe, 347 from memory. Don't quote me on that. That was a fantastic game. They definitely have not done themselves any harm. They could be one of the associates to go in, but I think, unfortunately for them, they are in the stronger group. They've got Zimbabwe, who they could beat on their day, but Zimbabwe are also no easy beats. They've got Pakistan again, who they have beaten before, so... And Pakistan and ODI form at the moment are not at their best, but you think, at least in these conditions in Australia, that would suit their bowlers, so...
It should suit them, I would think, yes.
Yeah. But you never know with Pakistan. But the thing is, everybody else, a team like India, England, South Africa, all teams which I think Ireland will find it hard to get the result against. But they're capable. They can definitely do it. Their fellow associate, the UAE, they should have no problems with. I don't want to underestimate the UAE, but I think it's been nearly 20 years since they last made an appearance in the Cricket World Cup.
Quite some time, yes.
While there is a lot of cricket infrastructure, and in a few years they could be a very strong team, they're not there at the moment.
No, they're not.
So at this stage, I think Ireland are the strongest associate, I think, followed by Afghanistan, who have also been quite strong.
Had a very good, I think, last 4 or 5 years, really.
They've come on
strength by strength and been coming up the rankings.
And in the Asia Cup, they beat both Sri Lanka and Bangladesh, and they thrashed Bangladesh at home. And they nearly beat Pakistan. They had them at 80 for 8 without their good fast bowler playing for them. So Afghanistan are definitely a team to watch. I'm going to watch them play against Bangladesh in Canberra, and that's a game that they can definitely win, and they should be gearing themselves up for it. I think with Sri Lanka being in as poor form as they are, and they are familiar with Sri Lanka and their bowlers, they're another team they can beat, especially if they get Sri Lanka out for a low total.
It'll be one of those things, as we're seeing in our series with New Zealand versus Sri Lanka. You've got the big three batters, or big four really, with Matthews. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones. Afghanistan, if they need to target them, if they can get them out cheaply, they're going to quite likely bowl Sri Lanka out very cheap as well, and they'll give them a chaseable target. And I think Sri Lanka's bowlers, they should have Malinga back for the World Cup. They haven't shown great ability to finish a team off or to be good death bowlers.
No. That being said, Afghanistan, ironically, are quite weak against the other associates ever since they've made their big rise. So Scotland could fancy their chances against Afghanistan. Yeah. They have a good record against them. But I think overall, Afghanistan are not probably going to make the second round quarterfinals, and neither are Scotland. But they might throw in an upset here and there, especially because there are a few weaker teams in that group, like Bangladesh and I hate to say it, Sri Lanka. Oh, and the West Indies were in the other group, so they're another team that can also do badly against one of the associates, potentially.
Could step it up against them. Once again, the West Indies haven't been playing very well recently, and their selectors have decided to be weird.
Yeah, shall we just go with the West Indies next from the associates? Because I think at this stage they are the weakest of the test playing sides. Even I think Zimbabwe have been better prepared than they are. At least Zimbabwe look like a united unit. There's no issues with the team. And
yes, that might be the difference there. As you say, there's a bit more cohesion with the team. The team's a bit more together. That will give them a better team effort, which I think, not wanting to diss my own team, is shown in New Zealand over the years, and especially now, they're a very cohesive team. And whilst in the not too distant past, we were dropping like a stone through the rankings because we were being quite bad.
Yeah.
We're quite well high up the favourite ranks at the moment, and this for quite a good reason. And most of that is around the cohesiveness of the team. The team is working very well together, they're all clicking, everybody sort of knows their spot, everybody's got their groove.
I agree.
And so, Zimbabwe's got that cohesiveness as well. That's going to do them well against someone like the West Indies who just.
And honestly, like, Zimbabwe could do something similar to what India did in the 83 World Cup. We had a team of no real superstars. Their superstars, Sunil Gavaskar, was in terrible form in that World Cup. Okay, let's be honest. Kapil Dev was a superstar and he was in amazing form. But you just need one dynamic player like a Kapil Dev to have a good World Cup, especially if they're an all-rounder in an ODI tournament. That can be so useful.
Yes.
Like, he puts in a good spell and then that gears him up to put in like a good cameo in a batting situation.
Yeah.
And then the next game he puts in a batting saving performance, you know, those sort of things. And Zimbabwe have players who are very capable, so they could pull off an upset here and there, but let us be realistic. I don't see them making the quarters either. I think in the group they're in, the West Indies will just edge them out. Just, I think the Chris Gayle factor just comes into it.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Gayle's, he's, as you're saying, he's that guy that has the X factor. He is, in one day internationals, he's an all-rounder, really.
Yeah.
And he will just blast a team.
Absolutely.
Out of the park and then come on and bowl tiredly and well. And there's 10 overs of basically no runs and makes it impossible to chase.
Imagine how good they would be if they had Dwayne Bravo. He's like rated the best ODI player in the world last year, you know? And, well, an all-rounder as well, and someone who could basically captain that team and is well-respected, I think, in that team. Okay, whatever reasons they had to get rid of him, we shall not talk about the problems with West Indies cricket in this podcast too deeply, but I think further stabbing themselves in the foot this way is not a great move. And Kieran Pollard is another dynamic player that you need, a player like him. He's a perfect closer. I think any other team in the World Cup would be happy to take those two right now. I don't think any team would be like, nah, we don't need them, bro.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think most other teams would have them in their squads. Yeah.
Bravo would easily be in the starting line.
Bravo easily, and Pollard would be that guy who's there, and maybe a bit of a horses for courses sort of thing in most squads.
Remember, he's a useful bowler as well.
I say, but he would be playing 9 times out of 10.
Absolutely. Okay. So next step ups, the people we are thinking coming after, on from Zimbabwe, West Indies, my home team, Bangladesh. Like I said, they're in the group they're in, they should fancy their chances. If they can beat Afghanistan and they can beat Scotland, they just need to beat one other test team. And we all know Sri Lanka are having issues and England are having issues.
Yes.
But that being said, Bangladesh are traditionally very poor in New Zealand and Australian conditions.
Yes.
And while the bowling lineup fills me with much confidence, Bangladesh cricket, while not going through anywhere near the issues of West Indies or English cricket, which we'll get into in a bit, they have had their issues as well. Shakib Al Hassan, who's the best player in the team, has only just come back to the team after spending a year banned due to disciplinary issues. And this was a ban done by the Bangladesh Cricket Board.
Yeah.
But he's a class player, and if Bangladesh want to go far, they need him to be their Kapil Dev in this World Cup. He is that player who can go in and bowl you some cheap 10 overs for like 25 runs and get maybe a wicket or two and then give you a very quick 50 or 100 need be. I think, Bangladesh are lucky because they get to face Afghanistan off the bat, so they can start off with a win. And if they win that first game, then they're in a chance to make that quarterfinal.
Good start. Should give them the win. Gives them that sort of confidence leading into some of the other games.
There will be a very partisan Bangladeshi crowd at that game in Canberra. So it's already close to being a sellout. There is a lot of Afghani people in Canberra as well, but I think Bangladeshis outnumber them quite significantly. It is a small ground, so it'll be easy to fill, about 20,000 people rather. But yeah, that should be a great game, which I'll be going to watch the week after the opening ceremony, all going well.